You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bibles tonight, Psalm 55. Let's begin with last week's Bible study, and then we'll move to Psalm 56 tonight. Psalm 55, it's so good to be with you in God's house. I've got my 55 Chevy here from last week. I've got a 56 this week, but the 56 I have is not the right size, and it's a modern one, and it's a little one. The right one's coming in at 9 o'clock tonight. And so if you'll stay, let me speak to 9 o'clock, it will be coming. And I'll have it here next week. This last week, we saw this 55 Chevy, and it's incredible. The 55 Chevy, 56 Chevy, 57 Chevy are the three duo years. This is the first year of the V8 engine. And I'll tell you, they put a V8 in this thing. This is a beautiful car. And we studied it. Last week, I asked you to read the Psalm. Again, this week, I'd like you to read it aloud this week again. Not tonight, but by yourself every day. Won't take long. And I want you to memorize verse 22. Now, I hope you've memorized it, but we're going to divide this room in half. Balcony, you're on this half and the other half here. Right down the middle, you're the first half, verse 22. You're the last half, verse 22. So let's start with the first half. Well, let's all read it together. Let's all read it together first, then we'll divide. Ready? Cast thy burden. Now, let's read it. This section here, right down the middle, upstairs, everybody, and then this section upstairs as well. Here we go. Ready? Begin. Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
That's our memory verse. That's from Psalm 55. I don't know if this will trigger your mind, but I hope that 55 Chevy would trigger your mind. That's the verse. Tonight is the 56. I love the 56, and this one is not the, I'm going to bring the real one next week. It'll be here at 9 o'clock tonight, but here's a small rendition of it. We'll get this size up here next week. I love the 56 so much. I think it's maybe my favorite, maybe even more than so than the 57, Brother Carl, I'm not sure. The 56 means so much to me. And you've heard the story about it, I know. Back in the 50s, they would soap the windows of the three car manufacturers. We didn't have Toyota. We didn't have Mercedes here. We didn't have all those other vehicles. We had Chevy, and what fell under Chevy was Oldsmobile and Pontiac and Cadillac. Chevy, and then you had Ford. And then you had Chrysler. Those were the three. Right over here in Centerville, where I grew up about 15 minutes from here. And we had three dealerships. Turner Ford could put one car in the showroom. And that was kind of impressive that they had a car. Central Chevrolet could put two cars. They had a showroom here and then a walkway and then another showroom. They weren't together. But 1956, they would soap the windows. Does anybody know what I'm saying, soap the windows? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Bunch of old people here tonight. They're everybody who's old. They'd soap the windows and they'd hide the cars in there. They wouldn't let anybody in. On that night, generally, I think it was a Thursday night, they would get a spotlight and they would rotate that spotlight, the three car dealerships in Fremont, which was at that time center of it, wasn't a city yet. And they opened the doors. I remember going in the first door right here, but I don't remember what car was there. But I remember for the first time in my life seeing a brand new car. It was a 1956 Chevy, a two-tone. It was that bluish, greenish color in the bottom and that white cream on the top. And I tell you, Brother Harder, I fell in love with that car. I'm a car buff. I don't have a car or a special car. I love cars. And I studied that car. this car, and they would advertise it, this car came unbelievably with a heater. You could buy a heater for that car, couldn't buy air conditioner or anything. But it also had, like the 55, no post in the middle. The 210s had a post in the middle, but this, they didn't have a post in the middle. Even the four doors didn't have a post in the middle. Now, or you could get them with a post, but yeah, they look so cool when you roll down all those four windows. We're not getting to the Bible study tonight, but we're getting a lesson on cars. You know, in 1956, they sold 104,000, almost 105,000 of those cars. Those cars cost brand new, and it was a lot of money, $2,100, brand new. Nobody could afford them, but you saw a neighbor or two would get one. It was such an incredible car. You could get a V8 in this as well. I want to take chapter 56 tonight, and I want to read it together with you. It's only 13 verses. Let's read it together. Let's gain some insight to the Word of God tonight. Psalm 56, just like the 56 Chevy. Ready? Begin. Be merciful unto me, O God. Thank you for reading the Word of God. Would you turn one more text? Keep your hand there. We're coming right back. Will you go back and let's get the foundation of this chapter? It's when David is fleeing the people of Gath. It's 1 Samuel 27. Will you turn to 1 Samuel 27? Gath was the Philistine Goliath Gath. Goliath was from Gath. Gath was strong soldiers. Gath was haters of God. They were Philistines. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, David said, is there not a cause? Let's go after this Goliath guy. He was a shepherd boy, and here was Goliath, a warrior. He was a boy with the stones, and here's a man with a sword. He was a man who was a shepherd, not known, and here's a man who's well known throughout the country. Now here's a man 9'6", and here's a little boy, just a youth, and he disdained him. And David said, is there not a cause? I cannot go with the armament of Saul, but I can go with my slingshot. And he won a victory that day. That's in chapter 17. But in chapter 27, he wants to go join the Philistines. He got himself discouraged. I wonder tonight, are you here discouraged tonight? Or maybe you've come just recently through some discouragement, or you're in discouragement, or you're leaving out of discouragement. Discouragement's part of life. The older I get, the less discouraged I get. You know, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. People want to hurt. They want to throw, I'm living a good long life. It's not going to be that much longer and whatever. And you know what? Whatever happens, happens. But David got himself all worked up. From chapter 17, let's fight Goliath, the Philistine of Gath, to chapter 27. The Bible says, and David said, look at chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, discouragement always begins in the mind. The heart is one third part of the brain. Our brain is 2 to 3 pounds. It looks like a walnut. And our brain is divided into 3 parts. And part of your heart, part of your mind is your heart. And when you get your heart wrong, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When you get your mind, discouragement always, it doesn't begin in action. No, it always begins in the mind. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could pay my bills. I don't think this medicine's gonna work. I don't think my marriage is gonna make it. I don't think I'm gonna get a good job. I just don't think I could pay my bills. It begins in the mind. That's why God's word says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind. Guard your mind. Think on things that are pure, lovely, good report, honest. Think on these things. As a Christian, you cannot think that, well, it's over. It's over. The president announced tariffs today. It's over. Yeah, don't get all worked up with that. Don't get worked up with politics. It's going to change 4 years from now. Probably swing the other way. Who knows how it's going to go? But don't get all worked up with politics. Don't get all worked up with the stock market. Don't get all worked up with money. When you need a job, God's going to give you a job. God just does that. And so don't convince your mind that it's hopeless. Well, you know, I lost my job. Really, quite frankly, I'm too old. I'm 55. Who wants to hire a 55-year-old man? I don't think I have any 55-year-olds unemployed right now. But I'm just too old. Nobody's going to want me. They're going to want these young youth. They're going to not. Don't. You're thinking wrong. They're going to want you because you've got some knowledge at a fifth. You see what Mr. Trump has done? He's, what's he, 70, 77, 78? He's 78, but he's surrounding himself with a lot of youth. But he's the leader. Hey, I want you to know, it begins in your mind. All his discouragement begins in mind. By the way, it goes secondly. He said in his heart, I shall not one perish. It comes out your mouth. People say, why did I say that? Because you thought it. What comes out of your mouth has already been in your mind. So when you and your husband are having an argument, he goes, you know us. He calls you by the first name. And you know you're always this way. He's already thought it. Because what proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart, Proverbs tells us. So it begins in the mind, comes out the mouth. It begins in the mind, comes out the mouth. But look what else he has. There's nothing better than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair to seek me anymore in the coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. It begins in the mind, it leads to your words, and David arose and passed over with 600 men, and it always leads to an action. It doesn't begin with an action. The action is what took place in your mind, came out your mouth, and then there's an action. And the action was he got 600 men discouraged also. And they did something wrong. This is the sons of Gath. In fact, verse number two. And David arose and passed over 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maacah, the king of Gath. And David dwelt Achish at Gath. Verse number four, and when Saul told Saul that David fled to Gath. Here is Gath. Verse number 11, Gath again. Verse number 12, Gath. And Gath was where all this is taking place. Now, go back to Psalm 56, please. Psalm 56 is when David is fleeing at Gath. If you go on, you get to that's chapter 27. You get to chapter 30. The men of Gath and his own men spake of stoning him because their wives and children were all captured by the Philistines. And they burned Ziklag, and he comes to town and he goes, God, What should I do? Shall I pursue? It's the first time he talked to God in all those three of those chapters. When you're discouraged, you don't talk to God. He was so discouraged with his mind, with his mouth, with his words, with his actions, that he couldn't talk to God. But David, the Bible says in chapter 30, when he was up against, there was nothing he could do. He inquired of the Lord and he said, Lord, do I pursue? And God said one word, pursue. And the Bible says he recovered all his wives, all their wives, all their children, and God got them all. And David got back on course and he left the Philistines and he left Gath and he got living for God. But here is this chapter where he is fleeing when the Philistines tried to take him in Gath. I want you to see several things. The psalmist in trouble. Look at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou most high. He said, these people, they're going to swallow me up. Well, no, David, no one's going to swallow you. You don't even taste that good. But no, you're not going to. But he had it all because people were against him. I don't like it when people are against me, and neither do you. But that's part of life. In life, if you have any leadership, people are going to be against you. People are going to fight against you. People are going to say things against you. People are going to try to hurt you. Hurt what you're trying to accomplish. And so I see that he's in trouble. It goes on, verse number 5. Every day they wrest my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. Look at verse number 6. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps, they wait for my soul. He said, there's no hope. They're waiting for me, they're going to hurt me, they're going to harm me. Psalm 56, and here is David's trouble, the psalmist in trouble. But I want you to see the psalmist's trust. His trouble, but his trust. We begin in verse 3, and verse 3 is the verse I'm going to give you this week to memorize. I'm going to ask you for verse 22 of chapter 55 last week, next week. I want you to read it every day. I want you to read it aloud by yourself, and I want our husband and wives together. And I want you to read Psalm 56. But his trust is in verse number three. Let's read it together, shall we? Ready? Begin. What time I am afraid. That's a great psalm. That's a great verse. You ever get fearful? Do you ever get fearful in life? We all get fearful. And I don't know if it's an age thing or not, but I don't have as much fear today as I did when I was a young man. I think, I just believe God's going to make a way. God's going to handle it. I was afraid on the plane this morning coming from Chicago. They grounded us because of lightning, so they grounded us, and then we got started. And they said, well, we'll make it to San Francisco at 9:20 this morning, but we're gonna be grounded here for a while. And then they got up and they said, it's going to be turbulent. I hate turbulence. How many are like me? You hate turbulence. I'll tell you what, I begin to confess my sins. It takes about maybe 10 seconds or so. I start on my wife's sins. It takes a couple hours. But I confess everybody's sin, everything I've ever done wrong. And he said, it's going to be about 30 minutes of really heavy turbulence. I said, oh, Lord, just help me with this thing, please. Well, he comes on after 30 minutes and said, well, we got another hour of this turbulence. I tell you, I don't get afraid over much. I got afraid. I'm hanging on to that seat. I'm just scared to death. Anybody else like that? Raise your hand. Be honest. Anybody else? A lot of good people. How many? It really doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you at all. I'll see you at the altar in a few minutes. You're not right. You people are not bouncing all over America. I that's not my type of deal. But God's word says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Look what he says in verse number 4. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. In God I praise his word.
In God I praise his word.
He said, I've gone through this experience, but I'm not going to fear. I'm going to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey God, simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. God wants me to trust Him. God knows what you're going through, and He sees what you're going through, and He knows what the future holds, but there's hope. By the way, verse 11, look at his trust again. Verse 11, would we read it together? Ready? Begin. In God I have put my trust. Here's the psalmist in trouble. Here's the psalmist trusting. Trusting, I want to say it's 152 times, 158 times in the Old Testament. The New Testament word for trust is faith. You don't see the word trust. You see, in the New Testament, you see the word faith. They're synonymous terms. To have faith means to just believe God. God wants me to believe Him. God wants me to trust Him. God wants me to realize that He has it all under control. There's nothing that God doesn't control. He controls the beginning. He controls the end. He controls everything. God's in control of everything, child of God. I don't many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. I am confident that God is going to take care of us. I'm confident. I'm persuaded. But what about joining Gath? I don't want to join Gath. What about joining the Philistines? I don't want to join the Philistines. I want to trust in God. And so I find that here's a psalmist in trouble, and here's a psalmist who trusts. But then thirdly, I see his tenacity. Tenacity is to hold strong or to hold fast or be persistent. Look what he says in chapter number 56 and verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know for, what's these next four words? Say it together. Ready? God is, try it again one more time. God is, God's, that's tenacity. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. God is for me. Look at chapter 55, last week's Chevy, 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Chapter 56, verse number 3. Ready? Begin. What time I afraid, you know, in the dark. Let's turn our psalm. We'll close out with this. Let's turn to 440 in our psalm books tonight. This really says it all. I had the instrumentals play it. Page 440, in the dark, sing it, of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder. Yes, good. Sing it from your heart on that chorus. Lift it up. Sing it together. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder is silent. Yes, good. Come on. Keep coming. Till the clouds. Yes. Look at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. verse 3 and 4. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. What time I am afraid, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? Verse number 9. Let's read it together. Verse 9 and 10 and 11. Ready? Begin. When I cry unto thee, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.